How you doing, world? This is Jake Roberts from Recovery Resources of Atlanta Midtown, the program specialist, and we are ready for our podcast number two of Keeping It Real with two L's, because our lessons learned will lessen your L's. I am, I'm here with Gail from Double Trouble. It is an excellent meeting, and she is going to speak to it right now.
Hey everyone, my name is Gail. I'm in recovery from alcohol, drugs, and mental disorders. Double Trouble is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from their particular addictions and mental disorders. We are a 12-step meeting. We have our own basic guide. We have our own chip system. We deal with alcohol and drugs and any kind of substance that you happen to be addicted to. You don't necessarily have to have a mental health problem, but after you listen to us speak and other people talk about their mental health problems, you may realize that you may want to check yourself out. I'm here with one of my facilitators, named Gregory B., and he's going to say a little something.
Hey, family. My name is Gregory B., and I am a recovering addict and with a mental disorder. My diagnosis is manic depression. For many, many years, I did not know that. It was not until I came into Double Trouble that I actually found out that it wasn't just the drugs, it was also my thinking, which makes it mental. And so we would love to have you come and join us and find out if this will be good for you.
Yes, and so we are, appreciate it. We're trying to figure out a time to get Double Trouble here in the recovery community organization. And we are looking for times on Tuesdays, maybe at 10 a.m. or later on in the evening. And that's something that we will put out into the public. So I'm going to shoot this one out here, I guess, initially to Gail. How did you hear or find out about our recovery resource, Atlanta Midtown?
Somebody from Covenant Community called me and told me that you were getting ready to start this, and they turned me on to Isidore. And after I talked to Isidore, the rest is history.
Nice. Nice. That's amazing. And then, during your conversations and just hearing about the world, you know, that is now this peer recovery support service, you know, as well as recovery community organization, you know, and being, state funded to kind of offer the community another way, you know, into recovery. What do you think is what's the most important part about these organizations?
The most important part is the value of one peer helping another. Everyone that is a facilitator for Double Trouble has a mental health problem and a substance abuse problem. We are all in recovery. We all work on our recovery. We have sponsors. We do everything that we tell everyone else they should do. We also do it. We practice what we preach. So to me, the value of the peer-to-peer is unparalleled. That's the most important thing, because if you've been there and done that and I've been there and done that, then we can relate some kind of way.
I agree 110%. And it's interesting, you know, in terms of communities and cultures and identifying, you know, with other individuals. But for me, you know, there is hope, and I do have hope for everybody, you know, to find, you know, lightness from the darkness, you know, and the pain and the suffering, you know. But it's very interesting that sometimes, you know, when you talk about lived experience and you talked about shared experience, a lot of the times the focus initially, or at least, you know, the, you know, something that is attracted to, you know, the broader community is some of the pain and the suffering, you know, shared between peers, where they can find that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. And someone else went through that, you know, and in that, I feel like it becomes a human condition, right? Yeah. You know, and our abilities to reach out to each other initially through that pain and suffering, find out that we're not alone, and then build that trust where we can say, hey, look, you know, I can learn from you. And it doesn't look like you're in that pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. anymore.
Right.
You know, so how do I find my way back out of that? So how does Double Trouble help to facilitate that relationship?
Well, like I said, it makes me know that I'm not by myself. See, my disease and my illness, my mental health wants to isolate me, wants to think I'm the only one that did certain things, mm-hmm. you know, and now I know that I'm not the only one, I'm not the Lone Ranger, you know. This program helps me to build relationships with people like me, mm-hmm. like-minded people, mm-hmm. you know, that want help. I'm a recovering addict that was one of the, as far as I was concerned, was a very bad one, and I have other associates who are recovering addicts that we help one another. You know, as Gail was mentioning, it says that, you know, one addict helping another, one mental health disorder person helping another is without parallel. You know, what other better person can I talk to than somebody that walked in my footsteps? You know, and so that also gives me courage and gives me strength and gives me hope, you know, as it does the other person that I'm talking with.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And then, so this is more of a direct question to both of you. I guess I'll start with Gail. Is what's working for you in your recovery?
Giving it away, because you have to give away what you have. Just being around like-minded people. Meetings, just because, you know, you have, like, I have 23 years clean doesn't mean that you can't stop. Because once you stop doing your recovery, then the consequences will get you before it's over with. Having a sponsor. You know, the same thing that I did when I first started first came into recovery is the same thing I have to do now. Nice. Even though it's years and years later, I still have to do the same thing.
Okay.
You know?
I agree. What's working for you?
Sure. Well, what's working for me is basically everything that Gail said, but not only that, but it's also the fact that it makes me feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. You know, before when I was using drugs and alcohol, I didn't like me. You know, and this program has taught me how to not only just like me, but to love me. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I love me, I'm not going to do all these negative things to me. And if I don't do them to me, I probably won't do them to you either.
That's okay? True.
Not to mention mental health. Yeah. I've been on mental health medication since I got clean, which is 1996. Mm-hmm. Taking my medication has a big difference in me staying clean, me staying stable. Mm-hmm. So, because I live with bipolar disorder, depression, and a few other things, and I take my meds every day. A lot of people have, they start taking their meds and they start feeling better, and they don't think they need them anymore. And we're trying to let people know that, yes, the meds are what's making you feel better. So, you know, that has a bit, since I don't have, like, those urges and those ups and downs like I used to have, I don't feel it necessary to go out and self-medicate.
Right.
Because I'm pretty good right now.
Right. And it is amazing, you know, we identify, you know, as a person in long-term recovery, you know, but I also identify as a person dealing with mental health challenges, and we do self-identify as that, but, you know, at the age of 16 or 17, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and it seems like all three of us in some way or another have been diagnosed in similar ways, mm-hmm. and, you know, we were chatting a little bit before this, and just kind of, you know, laughing about the ins and outs of the reality of dealing with not only both. So here's another question that's kind of, you know, more directed towards, you know, Double Trouble. Do you feel that your mental health challenges were a reason or the start to self-medication and going into using drugs and alcohol?
I think it was for me, yes, mm-hmm. definitely.
I believe so, yes, because I had a thinking problem before the drugs.
Right.
You know, and most of them, in the groups that I give, the Double Trouble groups that I give, you know, a lot of people still don't identify with having a mental disorder.
Right.
Okay? And so I just ask them, you know, I tell them, I say, well, if you were anything like me when you were young and up until your adulthood, have you ever asked yourself one question? And that question is, what's wrong with me? If you've asked yourself that question, something's going on.
Right. Okay. It's true, though. Yeah, it is true, you know. And when you're younger, you know, or you don't have the, you know, the support, or even if you do have the support, but they're misinformed or they're uninformed,
right?
Right? You know, about You know, so coming up from the north, and I was a part of church in my early life, and then taken out, and now coming down south, you know, I speak with a lot of, especially young folks, you know, where they have a Jesus problem, you know, and they may, you know, in certain, you know, cultures in certain families, that may be the case, you know, but it's not that you may have a mental health challenge and that you need to go see a professional of some sort or a counselor, you know, of some sort. And I think that's, you know, that, for me, that's, I don't know why, personally, I'm just saying, like, that's a really interesting kind of push. And I don't know if you have the same kind of, at least initial pieces around misinformation. Not to say that Jesus is misinformation, because that's helped a lot of people out and put a lot of people, faith-based recovery has helped a lot of people out. But has, you know, the initial misinformation pushed people towards self-medication? Have you heard those kinds of stories?
I self-medicated to survive my childhood, you know, and I was told that I almost had a mental breakdown when I was like 12 years old. I don't remember it. My brother told me that. So as far as, there's a lot of people, even today, that their families tell them they don't need the medication. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have to take that. You're fine, mm-hmm. you know, and all the while knowing that mental health runs in families, that, you know, we might be looking in a mirror, you know, when my family tells me, no, you don't need that medication, but they, chances are, they might need it too. So there's a lot of people that tell you, no, you don't need that. You know, you just, that, you're fine, you don't need that. But for me, anytime, if I was happy, I went high, got high. If I was sad, I got high. If I wasn't feeling good, I just got high. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't even, you know, I would like snap and people would be like, what is wrong with you? You were just happy a minute ago. Right. I was like, I don't know, just leave me alone, you know. Right. And so it was kind of a relief when I found out that I had a mental health problem, because it explained so many things that I did and that happened to me in my life.
Right.
And there is a lot of misinformation out there about mental health. Mm-hmm. The stigma behind mental health will make people not get help.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have mental written across my forehead, so unless I tell you I have a mental health problem, you don't have to know.
Right.
But I don't care, because I'll tell everybody. I'm not ashamed.
Right. So, and in that, you know, being, you know, having that kind of self-awareness is going to help break down the stigma. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, when I heard somebody say, you know, that they had a mental health problem, you know, or mental health challenges, mental health disorder, and came out of it, and here's how they did it, you know, through these practices, you know, it just took a weight off me. I'm like, all right, you know, and they were cool, you know, and you were confident, you know, and they had a job, you know, or that I wanted, and they were somebody that I looked up to, but they were also someone with a mental health, you know, challenges. And I always thought, you know, to myself, there was something wrong with me, you know, because of that, you know, but later on when I got, you know, informed, you know, about mental health, it kind of changed perspectives. Have you kind of heard those misinformation stories?
Yes. You know, misinformation would just stop.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, yes.
You know, it sounded good, right. But I, as an individual, could not just stop. You know, my mental health started very young. I'm talking about 3 and 4 years old. And how I know that is because I remember, you know, one instance when my mom told me, don't touch the cookies in the cookie jar. Mm. And as soon as she turned her back, I got me a cookie. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something wrong with that. You know what I mean? The thinking part, you know? But you don't really look at it, because you don't want to identify with that part. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm asking myself all these years, what's wrong with me? But I don't want to identify myself with those people I saw getting off that short yellow bus. Mm-hmm. See, oh, mm-hmm. I said, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Right? And lo and behold, it was me. Yeah. I had a thinking problem. Yeah.
Right.
How do I know I have a thinking problem? Well, how many times I did wrong when I knew what right was?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're saying.
So, yeah, it's a thinking problem in that process. But like Gail, when I found out that I had a mental disorder, it was a relief. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that was like answering the question I've been asking myself for years. What's wrong with me? Now I know. No.
Right. And when you know, then you get to kind of work and pick away, you know, on a daily basis on how to get better. It's not like, you know, that I'm flawed somehow as a human being, you know, and I'm doomed, you know, I'm destined to, you know, to stay in this darkness. No, you can chip your way out of whatever cave or hole that you're in.
It's a disease. It's just right. like any other disease. You know, if I had heart disease, nobody would talk about me taking medication every day, going to the doctor a couple times a month. Nobody would even care about that.
Yeah.
A mental health problem is the same thing, just like addiction. It's a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we have to treat as a disease, not as a, and, you know, on an individual basis, not wrapping everyone up and saying, oh, everyone, you all got, oh, you got schizophrenia, you're all crazy, you're seeing things, you're going to kill me.
Right.
You know what I mean? People have really bad misconceptions about mental health.
They do.
And it's education, you know? People should be educated about it, but a lot of people just don't, they just don't care, you know?
No, I'm with you. They don't care. And or they're, you know, it's the indifference,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, you know, until, you know, that horrendous saying, you know, not my child comes up, and then they find a way to, you know, say it's something else,
mm-hmm.
you know, it must be, you know, adolescence,
yeah.
you know, or it was the drugs, you know, that made them do that, which probably, well, that was a part of it.
It had something to do with it.
You know,
it wasn't the whole picture.
Mine was present way before I started using drugs.
Right. I agree.
You know.
And then getting back to what you were talking about the Jesus idea, you know, that's one reason why I, you know, really enjoy the Double Trouble meetings, because they ask you to pick a God of your own understanding.
Right.
You know, when they first told me that, this was 24 years ago, I was like, first thing came to my mind was, who am I to choose God?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I was explaining to him, as long as he was loving, caring, had all power everywhere at the same time, and was forgiving.
Right.
And that's the type of person I needed
right.
in my
mm-hmm.
life. You know, I had done so many things that I was ashamed of.
Right.
You know, so I needed
right.
somebody that I knew who would forgive me.
Right.
You know, and then that helped me forgive my own self.
Exactly.
Especially while I'm getting the information
yeah.
about what's going on with me.
Right.
Now I get some answers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can identify with people that come into the program, you know, that have a Jesus issue.
Right.
Okay. Because I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have another saying in the rooms that says, you know, use my God mm-hmm. until you find a God of your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that
right.
helped me. The group kept coming to the meetings. I kept coming to the meetings. So
right.
at that point, the group was
right.
my higher power.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and it worked for me. And I'm sure that it worked for me. It worked
right.
for many others. We just got to be open-minded to
right.
Opening up
mm-hmm.
ourselves to other people.
I'm with
and
you.
To find a common denominator.
I'm with you. Yeah, the chosen family, you know, is or the community or whatever you want to, you know, say, the people that you know have your back and that are there to support you. And, you know, when I initially, you know, got into recovery and was in treatment and was allocated to AA and NA meetings, you know, I found a lot of support, and I was asked, you know, to get a higher power as well
mm-hmm.
as a God, you know, and my concept around that, to find that, was maybe harder than some others, just because I wanted, you know, it was like many things, the last little bit of control that I had to give up, you know,
exactly.
to this imaginary deal. But how I prefaced it later on was, you know, what mental health challenges and addiction and substance use disorders will do, you know, if they grab a hold of you and bring you into the darkness, is they're going to push everyone away from you. You're going to isolate yourself. And what do you do when you're in the corner by yourself in your own thoughts? Who do you have then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you have then? There's got to be something, you know, that pulls you back into the light, because
mm-hmm.
that's what it will do. You know, it will control you and push you into the darkness. And there's got to be something that's out of your, you know, conception or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can be this, you know, higher power, God, whatever it may be, that pushes you out into the light. So I'm going to end this with, we've asked a lot of questions, but what's the one thing that you want to say to the community that is listening to this podcast?
Okay, Double Trouble in Recovery has been around since 1996, since the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have never heard of us, even though we have about 45 meetings in the metro Atlanta area and about 30 statewide. It's a good program. You can come and you can talk about anything you want to talk about. We're not going to laugh at you because you have a mental health problem. We're not going to stigmatize you. We're going to love you till you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, come as you are.
Nice.
You're welcome.
It's amazing.
So for me, when I came to recovery, came to AA, NA, then I went to CA. Mm-hmm. You know, and all of them were great. They kept me clean. The information was good, but there was always still something missing from me.
Right.
And so when I got into Double Trouble, that was my missing link, the mental part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, I'm just trying to get rid of the drugs. In other words, the drugs did it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize the part that I played in that,
right.
you know?
Right.
So when I kind of started looking at me, and it kind of answered a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have nobody just to blame it on the drugs or blame it on you or blame it on my upbringing or blame it, I'll be honest with you, blame it on the white man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, finding out that it's a lot to do with me.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm so grateful for Double Trouble.
Right.
You know, and that's like, you know, it's become for me, it's like I have an obligation. To share the information that I do have, because
right.
I know there's a lot of people walking around like I used to walk around,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to no more.
Right. No. No. Well, thank you so much, you know, for coming on and speaking to us, and I think, you know, I can't wait to have Double Trouble here in the walls of Recovery Resources of Atlanta. As you said, you know, you were in independent groups, you know, you were in the rooms, and you took that extra step to find out, you know, what these rooms may be able to provide you, and you found, you know, something that was extremely important
yeah.
to you. And I hope that for the rest of the community, and we will be posting when the meeting will be, but we really look forward to having you here, and thank you again so much for talking to us and pushing this one out.
All right.
So again, that was Keeping It Real with two L's, because our lessons learned will lessen your
L.
L's. Okay. That's it. All right, thanks, y'all.